Chapter. It's page 738 in your pew Bibles if you want to follow along there, or you're welcome to use your own Bible or Bible apps. That's becoming more popular these days. It's the crippled woman healed on the Sabbath. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he had said this, all of his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Well, Jesus, as we said in the children's sermon, was faced with a dilemma. Woman, 18 years, he sees her in the synagogue, she's bent over, she can't straighten up at all. Should he depart from his teaching, and should he break the strict Sabbath laws against work, or should he show compassion and heal her right then? Which door would he choose? Well, we know he chose door number one. He chose to heal the woman rather than simply obey the strict laws of the Sabbath. And immediately his decision was questioned. And again, the way it was questioned is reasonable. Okay, she's been sick 18 years. She's not getting, you know, this isn't something that just happened. Why do you have to do it today, Jesus? Why do you have to disrupt our worship service here right now? It's been 18 years. You can't wait one more day. It's not life-threatening. This isn't, you know, she's not going to die from it. She'll be okay tomorrow. And this is a little village. It's not like you're not going to be able to find her. You'll know right where to find her. Why couldn't you just wait one more day? Why disrupt everything? Why ruffle all the feathers? And why cause us to question, should you even be doing this because God says we're to honor the Sabbath by not working? Well, it could have been a viable option for Jesus. That certainly makes a reasonable argument. But our text begins by saying Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and I think Jesus was using this moment to teach. It was a teachable moment. And so Jesus raises the question, you know, what ought we to do? The leader of the synagogue said we ought to obey the Sabbath laws to the T. Jesus raises the question, when should we show compassion? What ought we to do in this case? And then as they were arguing back and forth, he nails them because each of them unties their ox or donkey, leads them to water in the morning. Elsewhere, there's another story where Jesus says, and if that donkey falls into a pit on a Sabbath, you're going to get that donkey out. And he says, if you're going to do that for a common animal, aren't you going to show compassion for this daughter of Abraham, this child of God? What, animals are more important than people? And so Jesus literally shames or humiliates them because all of a sudden they are faced with the reality, you know, that's true, Jesus. You know, we care for our animals on the Sabbath, and yet we're all upset when you care for this woman who needed healing. And so what ought we to do? We've been going through this, All the Places to Go by John Ortberg, and in today's lessons, and if you go up on the internet for it, he talks about sometimes we don't have the choice of what doors to go through. Sometimes God sets a door before us. We have to react to what is before us. And sometimes the most important thing is, you know, how do we go through the door God has set before us? You know, I may not be able to choose what I have to do, but I can choose how I do it. I can choose my attitude as I go along. And in the film, he has this wonderful woman who's named Linda. She's a bus driver for San Francisco City, and she drives a bus every day. I don't know about you, but I can't think of a much worse job. Every day, driving a bus. There's no advancement. If you're a bus driver, you're a bus driver. And every day, you drive the same route over and over again. And then the next day, you go back and you drive that same route over and over again. I think I would be bored to tears with that type of job. But the question is, she is a bus driver. How is she going to go through that door? And Linda in that video, what a neat woman, but she starts her day between 3 and 4 in the morning because she has to be there to start the bus route at 5 in the morning. Every morning starts with her devotion, and the last thing at her devotion is, Lord, use me today to bring your love to the people I encounter. And so while many of us would walk through that door and say, why did I get stuck in such a dead-end job and doing such a boring routine thing, she saw each person that came off and on that bus as part of her ministry. And she became known as the bus driver who would help the elderly, who would help the disabled, who would greet you as you came on the bus. In fact, she got such a reputation that the newspaper sent a reporter out just to ride the bus and to see just what kind of a person she was, and they wrote her up as kind of the, you know, an exemplary person within the city. And it was because it was not just what door do I choose, but once I'm in that door, how do I go about it? And she went about each day trying to share God's love with the people that she encountered along the bus trip, day in and day out. And so what ought we to do? What ought we to do? Well, she showed us that what we ought to do first and foremost is to establish our relationship with Jesus. Before she ever got on the bus, before she greeted a single person, every day she strengthened her relationship with Jesus. Because you don't have anything to give until you first receive. And boy, as you look at that video, you see that in her. Yeah, she nurtured her relationship. She took time for her devotions. She was filled before she ever went out to give. And so that's so important for us. And Martin Luther, and I've shared it before, he says, you know, the first thing he did when his feet hit the floor was to make the sign of the cross and say, I am baptized. He says, that's what gave him his identity. That's what started his day. I am baptized. And with that, what all does that mean to say I am baptized? I'm God. I'm a child of God. I've been promised the Holy Spirit from God. I'm an heir of salvation because of my baptism, because of God's grace to me. And so each morning that he did that, he not only just made that sign of the cross, as if to say, this is who I am, but this is what God has done for me. To start each day, what has God done for me? And it starts in our identity as baptized children of God. You know, that's even in our lesson today. You mean you couldn't have compassion on this child of Abraham, this child of God? So our service begins with our identity, our relationship with Jesus. And the closer we develop that relationship, the better offer, the better power we have to then go out like Linda the bus driver did and serve people in her community. In Paul, in Romans 12:11, it says, do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, and serve the Lord. And one of the keys in serving the Lord and in being able to have energy is finding out where is it that God wants you to serve. What door does he want you to go through? Service is not an option, but the way we serve is an option. And what Paul is saying there, find your area of service where you can do it zealously. And it's going to be different things for different purposes, different people. Because while we are all children of God, gifted by God, we're all gifted with different things. Different things energize us. You can see Anne get energized leading the praise team. You see it in her face. That's where she is supposed to be. You can see it. That's her gift, using the gift God has given her. I marvel. You know, the first, I don't know how long I was here, because your back was always to me. And then I don't know, the first time seeing you direct, and it was just like, wow, what joy that she has in directing the choir, in directing the music. And that's who she is. She's found her thing. I look at volunteers in the church office. There are some volunteers that love to file and clean up a messy room. Sometimes our office gets a little messy. And sometimes there are those workers that just love to get in there and say, okay, here's a mess of stuff, let's get this filed. Here's some stuff here, let's get this put away. And at the end of the day, they look at the room and it's cleaner and it's straighter and they are energized. They feel good about that. I'm not one of those people. I don't get energized by filing and cleaning up. But then there are those other volunteers who work the window. We get some strange people that come in for food day in and day out. And yet I'm amazed our volunteers that that's what energizes them. You know, greeting these people off the street, many with problems, and being the light of Christ, being that welcoming presence to them. And their eyes light up as they interact with the people at the door. Different things give us energy. And so Paul says, when you serve the Lord, you should have some energy with it. If you're doing something for God and it's at the end of the day, you just go, oh man, that was awful. Don't do that. Don't do that. Find a different area that brings you joy. And so Paul is saying there, you know, don't lack in zeal. Serve the Lord. Well, if you're lacking in zeal, find the area that gives you the energy. That's the key. We all have it. So service isn't a question, but finding that door so when we go through, we find that we have energy and that we're using the gifts God has given us. Another example he had in the video is John, a carpenter. And John says when he started out, he always thought of his job as menial. You know, a carpenter's not glamorous. It makes an okay living, but it, you know, like a bus driver, you're a carpenter, you're a carpenter. You don't go on to bigger and better things generally. That's just a slot that he was in as a carpenter. And he said it took going down to Haiti one time with his church to build homes for the poor, and all of a sudden here were these cardboard shacks, and now he could help provide a stable, secure house for somebody, and it gave him energy. He loved doing it. But not only the energy when he was on a church project, but now he came back home and he says, this isn't just a menial job. I'm providing safe, stable housing for people when I'm doing my job. And it changed his life. Now all of a sudden he found energy in what he was doing. And so we need to have that same attitude. So when we walk through the door, find that door that gives us energy. And if you don't have an option for a door, the one choice you may have is how you're going to approach your serving day in and day out. Well, John Ortberg goes on to say another thing about Jesus when he talks about serving. He says, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Now that's a strange. Why would Jesus say that to his disciples? Because good things do not happen to sheep that get sent out among wolves. But I think what Jesus really is saying is when we go out, have a humble attitude, you know, a servant attitude, as opposed to being the wolf. In fact, there was a cute little cartoon that I ran across that said, I send you out as sheep among wolves, while some hear, I send you out as wolves among sheep. I think the church gets a bad name when we view ourselves as, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to convert them and I'm going to attack those who aren't Christians until they become Christians, and we're more like wolves than we are like sheep. And Jesus says, no, I send you out as sheep. Sheep are humble. Sheep serve quietly and aren't that consuming, devouring others around them. And so when we look at our space, finding the right door, the right attitude when we're through that door, and then humbly serving as we go about it. So how will we go through the doors that that God sets before us in life? Today we're reminded, you know, to go through the door with zeal. We do. The one choice we have sometimes, if the only one door before us, the only choice we have is our attitude, to find joy in serving others. But to do that, to also remind, we've always got to receive before we can give. Always keep going back to Jesus. Find joy in Him. You know, because as we find joy in Him, even as something as simple as saying, I am baptized, and all that means and how God has blessed you and made you His own, do that first. That becomes the power then as you receive from Jesus that you then can go and serve others. So what ought we to do? When Jesus was faced with decisions, what Jesus chose was to show compassion. What Jesus chose was humble service. What Jesus chose was forgiveness and life. Now go, do likewise. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we all have different doors to go through. Sometimes we have choices and we need to look, where do you want us? Other times you've set a door before us that we have to walk through. Lord, help us continue to stay so connected to you that we will have the energy, we will have the joy from you to be your light to share with others. We ask for that blessing, for the doors that stand before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our worship continues now with our offering.